From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's time for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by Young's Marine in North Platte. Here's your host, Rick Windham.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Outdoor Connection. We're here this morning because St. Pat's boys basketball won their semifinal. They play again tomorrow morning for the state championship, and the Outdoor Connection got preempted for that. So we're here this morning. Kent Pryle is my guest, our own North Platte professional bass fisherman, and we're going to be talking about a fishing clinic you got coming up.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
It's the Lincoln County Bassmasters 44th Annual Bass and Basic Day for the kids.
44th annual.
That's what I hear, yeah.
Yep. And you were there to start, right?
Yeah, I started this all in 1977. So, and we've had them everywhere. Churches, malls, outdoors.
Yep.
And now we're doing it at the DNN on Sunday from 11 to 1.
That's two of the questions I had, is where and when.
Yep.
What can a, or I should say, what does a kid need to be able to come there? Or can it be just totally brand new, know nothing about fishing?
Right. All he needs is a ride.
A ride?
Yeah.
Very good. If it's not too far
to
walk.
We need a grandma or a grandpa or aunt, uncle, or mom and dad to step up to the plate and stop out, bring them out. We'll have the rods and the reels, and I've got lots of things to give away, so we're going to have a good time for a couple hours.
And what will a youngster have a chance to learn about?
Well, if you want to be a good bass fisherman, there's a certain couple of casts that you need to learn how to make, the flip and the pitch. You know, everybody can go out the lake and wing the cast over their shoulder, but there's a couple of techniques that that you need to specialize in to become a good bass fisherman.
You're going to teach them how to slingshot under docks?
We're going to try to teach them. You have to be able to do that because the bass nowadays are getting smart.
Yeah.
They get way, way, way back underneath that dock, and unless you're able to make that cast and get it back in there.
Well, that's one of the things in the couple of these events I've stopped through to take pictures or whatever and watching the kid. I like the biology that comes out of that and the explanation. You know, why is that bass under the dock? You know, and the kids learn about that. The kids learn they're a predator fish. Kids learn they like the shadows and stuff.
Yep.
And that translates to better fishing when you get out on the water for real.
And the older they get and the bigger they get, the further back under that dock they get.
Yeah. Yeah, and they can be right, I mean, just in a foot of water and way back up under there.
Yeah, for sure.
When did you start fishing, Kent?
I fished with my grandpa when I was almost too young to even remember it. We had a tractor tire inner tube with a sheet of plywood on top of it.
That was the boat?
That was the boat. And we fished in the trees at Sullivan Reservoir for catfish.
Ah.
Those are my fondest memories of
that
beginning.
That could be exciting.
From what I remember, it was. The only episode I remember is when I hooked Grandpa in the ear with a hook, and I'll never forget that one.
Oh.
He wouldn't let me forget that one.
Oh. That's... Yeah, I imagine you learned something that
day. Yeah, I can't even tell you how old I was, but I wasn't very old. So that was the beginning of it all.
Then when did you realize that you were going to move from catfish to bass?
There was an ad in the paper when I was a junior in high school. Lincoln, or the North Platte Basslanders, were looking for members.
That was the predecessor
of the... way back when I was 16. And we joined in the first year I fished the club tournaments. We had, I think, 9 tournaments. And the size limit was 12 inches back then.
Right.
So it's nothing to catch a 12-inch bass. Well, I went that whole year and never caught a keeper bass.
Ooh.
And I decided right then, if it takes me the rest of my life, I'm going to learn how to catch these things. And I'm still learning.
Still learning. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Now, for your event, it's coming up this Sunday. And like you said, be out at the DNN Event Center, 11 to 1. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Any cost to attend?
No. No cost.
Okay.
We're furnishing the rods and reels. We'll have the Lincoln County Bassmasters out there. There'll be 10 or 12 of us out there that'll help you through the cast. We'll have, I think we've got a booth set up to show you the different lures that we use. We're working on a booth to show you the different line types and the techniques that we use with those lines.
There's a whole science right there.
Yeah, and we're going to have another booth with the rods and reels of different styles and explain how we use them. So it should be a good day.
I had a friend of mine was in my shop the other day, and he happened to be looking at where I have my rods stacked up there. And there's some, you know, there's some trout rigs, crappie rigs, bass rigs, northern musky rigs. And then he got down there to where my big flathead rigs are. And he's looking at, the line caught his eye first because it's a braided line. And he's wondering why it was two colors like that. And I said, well, it's braided. And I said, and he said, why do you do that? And I said, they're strong and there ain't no stretch in that line.
Nope.
If I got to pull him, I'll pull him one way or the other.
Right.
Now, for the kids, when they get, you said you got a lot of stuff to give away. How's that going to work?
Well, they'll sign up at the door when they come in for the casting competition. We'll run them through the competition, and then during the day, we'll just pick some times and we'll give some stuff away.
Very cool.
So when they register for the competition, that will be their ticket to win the prize. So
now register for the competition, but do you have to register or pre-register to come?
Nope.
Just
when they come
in
the door, and you know, we'll have some young kids. Used to be the ages were 7 to 11, 12 to 14. But now we just kind of open it up and let them cast. And we've had, I think we had a 4-year-old last year that was really good.
Very good.
Looking forward to seeing him again this year. So.
Very good. In the couple of times I've been and seen the event in operation, I've been impressed with the number of young girls, the young ladies that are in there casting.
Yep.
And pretty darn accurate.
Yep. Yeah, we had a girl several years ago that made it all the way to the Bassmaster Classic competition.
That was one of the Baumburger girls.
Yep. Baumgartner's.
Baumgartner's.
Yep.
That
Shay was her name.
Shay, yeah. Yep. And I remember that. That was down in Atlanta or something that year.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was at. Her and Hunter King both went that year.
Yep.
And now Hunter's a part of the club, and he's a pretty good fisherman.
And we have some great places to fish around here.
We do.
You don't have to go a long way to go anywhere. No. We're blessed.
We don't have any really big water, but we've got a lot of little spots that've got a lot of fish in them. So.
Now, you grew up in North Platte?
I was born in Sutherland, grew up in Gothenburg, went to high school in North Platte.
But so this region,
within 30, 40 miles of here.
So how many of the interstate lakes and stuff, canals, have you fished?
All of them.
If you can get to them legally, you've been there, huh?
And some of them illegally. We won't go there.
No.
You know, since I got the boat and started the bass fishing, I kind of got away from the canal and some of the littler ponds. I'm more of into the big water kind of stuff. It's a little more demanding, you know, to try to figure out where they're at. An interstate, like, you know, you're going to go around and around, and you're either going to catch them in the bank or out off the bank. And
right.
You go to a big lake, you know, there's so many different scenarios you can work into. You can fish riprap, you can fish weeds, the inside and outside edge of the weeds. You know, you can fish deep, shallow. So it's
on the brochure I saw about your event coming up Sunday, one of the elements it says tying. And my first thought was tying flies, and then I went, no, that's got to be tying knots. So is that right?
Yeah.
Tying different knots?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and I only use one, so I don't, I'm a Palomar knot guy. Just tie everything with it. So.
I don't know what I call the knot. I was in a pro-am thing, you know, writers and fishermen one time. We were down in Missouri, Lake Wapapello. Have you ever been on that one?
Never have.
That's way down in the southeast.
Okay.
And remember the name of a guy is Guido Hibden.
Oh, yeah.
That was my partner that day. And he taught me a knot that, and he told me, he says, once you learn this, you'll never use swivels again. And he's right.
Yeah.
And it is so fast. I'll have to tie it one time for you and see if you got a real name for it. I just call it my Hibden knot.
Yeah.
But that is an essential part of the game.
Yeah, you'll want to remember whatever he tells you. That's for sure. He was a good one.
Yep. The other one, I had a chance to fish one day with Bill Dance. And he's the same way in the boat off camera as he is on camera. He's just funny as heck.
Yep.
Now, and with knot tying, that's an essential part of the game. You got to be able to get the lure back with the fish on it before the string comes untied.
Right. And you have to retie a lot.
Yep.
You know, when you're fishing underneath docks and around cables and in the brush and the thick stuff, you get your line nicked.
You're going to lose tackle.
You have to retie now. Once in a while.
Right.
More so on the light line part of it. But, yeah, I'll retie 25 times a day, maybe more. So
probably.
You got to be quick.
I can see, yeah. And in your game, in the tournaments, yeah. time is money.
2 minutes to tie that knot, you just wasted 50 minutes of your day.
Yeah. So. That's an important
part of it.
What type of line do you prefer?
You know, since they came out with the fluorocarbon, I'm kind of 90% fluorocarbon. I still have techniques where I use the old monofilament.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like braid. I do use it once in a while.
It's braid
not my favorite.
Braid is a specific... There's not a lot of finesse with braid. It's winching.
Yeah. When you need to get that flathead out from underneath that dock, that's what you want the braid
for. That's what I use the braid for. Yeah. I got 150-pound test braid line, and I'm either going to pull the fish out or I'll pull the dock over with me.
There's a lot of pros that use braid almost exclusively, so I'm not one of those.
What about the hyper lines like fire line and all that kind of stuff?
You know, they're right on that braided line, no stretch, right. You know, thin diameter, extra strength, and I don't use them. I got some 50-pound braid that I use when I'm throwing a frog or when I'm fishing in real heavy cover, and that's the only time I use it, so... I don't specialize in the nanofill or any of that stuff. So
I have to tell you a story about Fireline sometime. So what else are the kids are going to see and learn when they get there?
Well, I'm trying to get a game warden to come out. So it's always nice to have the game and parks come out and kind of, explain boat safety. And, you know, you always want to wear your life jacket. You always want to have your kill switch tied on. You know, if it's nice, I'm going to bring my boat out and set it out in the parking lot, and they can crawl through it or whatever they want to do, and look how I set my boat up. And you know, there's lots of new electronics out.
Oh, that's every year.
Yeah,
I mean, you buy your boat today, your electronics are outdated by
June. it's crazy, the new Live Scope panoptics that they have out now.
I've just been looking through on the catalogs on some of those,
the forward view.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And it's like, how can you not catch a fish if you got all that?
And if you don't have it in certain tournaments, you're not competitive. I mean, the last one I just came from, the top 10, that's all they were doing.
Mm.
So, you know, you go to college and learn how to run a locator and get you a good setup and come out of there and be a pro bass fisherman.
There you go.
So the old days of instincts and learning techniques is a thing of the past.
Oh, man. Tristan is signaling that we're going to have to take a commercial break here real quick.
Well, I'm about ready for one of those.
Okay, we'll do that. And we'll stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to the grand poobah of bass fishing for North Platte here, Kent Prow. How you like that?
Boy, this is the highlight of my year, coming in here to talk to Rick.
I think I need to make that as a sign somehow to put it on the side of the boat. You know, the Lord High Grand Poobah of Bass.
I wouldn't charge you much.
That would be good. Everybody would come around wanting to know what that was all about.
Right.
For your event on Sunday for Bass and Basics out at the DNN, who is that designed for?
It's designed for that young kid that goes out fishing with his dad and doesn't want to quit. You know, he's got a fishing pole in his hand all the time. He eats, sleeps, and fish and fishing. You know, and there's kids out there. I've talked to dads and said, "Guy, take my kid out fishing. He didn't want to leave. He can sit there in that boat and cast all day."
Yep.
And it's also for the kids that never fished in their life. You know, to come out and maybe we can get them hooked, and there'll be that kid that doesn't want to go home when it's time to go home. So
I would love to see a study done of how many kids that go through the DARE program and how they stay, quote, on the straight and narrow versus how many kids get into hunting and fishing. And which one do you have a better result for?
Right, right.
I think you would, and I know.
I wouldn't be a good example of that because I wasn't a very good kid.
Really?
Yeah, but I turned out all right.
That's still what my mom says.
That's
still debatable.
I turned out all right. No, yeah. And there's another level above this. You know, this is kind of the primer for these kids that are in that category of
right.
really loving to fish. There's a junior world championship they can get into.
Right.
There's high school. I've had high school kids. I've been doing high school kids for 20 years.
Yeah.
And now it's getting really interesting because my kids that graduated last year, 2 years ago in Wisconsin, finished eighth and won about $25,000 in scholarship money.
If they
chose to go to those particular schools, which they didn't, but still the offer was there.
Yeah.
And to have that much money on the table for fishing, it's crazy.
Where was that back then? Where was that when we were graduating high school?
I'd probably went to college.
Yeah.
That's a scary thought.
Well, that would have been a heck of a lot easier on my body than the football scholarship I took.
Well, I don't know. The fishing's kind of a tough sport. You know, it's not physically demanding, but when you have to get up early, 4, 5, 6 mornings in a row and stand in that boat for 10, 12 hours a day and then do it all over the next day and drive 7, 8, 9, 15 hours one way to get to the tournament.
What's the difference between that and a duck hunter?
Well, duck hunter, you just sit around and wait for them.
In the boat all day.
Yeah. No, mentally, it's tougher.
Mentally, it's tough.
It is really tough mentally. That's where I find myself after a six-day event, really struggling is mentally. You know, you're like brain dead because you're constantly
trying to keep focus on
where that, you know, where did I catch that last fish? You know, it was 6 days ago in practice, I had this bite. Which cove was that in? To put it all together and make the right moves at the right time to be competitive,
yep.
it's definitely demanding mentally.
Is it? With your event Sunday, what's your favorite part of that? You as an organizer, overseer, watcher, what's your favorite part?
Probably watching the smiles on those kids' face and seeing so many young kids get involved with it. In years past, we've had it in conjunction with kind of a fishing day
mm-hmm.
where they could go fishing. And I've had several kids that caught their first fish during those events. So it's the smile on that kid's face. And it's seeing that kid grow from that into, you know, a really good fisherman. So like some of the kids that we've got now that have been through it all. So
back before they had free park entry day type things, I worked with the city and Iron Eagle Golf Course and Monty Madsen out at the Game and Parks, and we put on a fishing day for kids and fished the water hazards at Iron Eagle. And there was Game and Parks come in, Monty had stocked some catfish in there, and there's one little guy in there, I wish I'd have had a video of it. He was 2.5, 3, he was there with his dad, and he caught his first fish, caught a catfish. Now when you're 2.5, 3, and you stand about 30 inches tall, and you catch a 15-inch fish, that's pretty impressive looking fish.
Right.
Well, he got it up to the bank, and the catfish was laying right there at the water's edge and made that croaking noise that catfish do sometimes, and then it flopped and landed right on his feet. And that was it, man. He took off on a dead run, but he carried his rod with him. And every time he looked back, that fish wasn't getting any further away. And it took about 20 yards for his dad to catch him. And 2 hours later, he was telling me how to fish.
There you go.
He was into it. And like you said, watching the kids light up with mm-hmm. that "I can do this" look
yep.
is pretty cool.
Yep.
So
it's that kid that goes all day, doesn't get a bite, but he's ready to go the next day. Those are the kids that I enjoy.
They're showing an interest in it. If
right.
they can do that, they're
right.
showing an interest. Okay. I hear the music that says we're done, so give us all the particulars again. When,
okay.
where, what?
Sunday, D&N Event Center. It's going to be a beautiful day. Sun's going to be out.
Yeah.
Bring those kids out, 11 to 1 o'clock. We're going to be there probably earlier than that, getting things set up. Got a whole list of sponsors that have helped out on this every year. I've had them for...
forever.
Yeah, forever. You know, and without them, you know, we don't have any prizes. So right. The Lincoln County Bassmasters will be there to help, and looking forward to some smiling kids.
Very good. Kit, thank you much. Thanks for doing this, too.
Thank you for inviting me.
You bet. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next Friday on another edition of the Outdoor.